Welcome back to The Advisor, the show that turns the expert insight into real-world breakthroughs. I'm your host, Stacey Chalemi, and today we're diving into the heart of the human-animal bond with Dr. Pamela Johnson, veterinarian, leadership coach, and founder of Veterinarian Mastermind. After 3 decades in practice and running an award-winning AAHA hospital, Dr. Johnson created this membership platform to transform anxious pet parents into confident advocates for their companions. Before we jump into doing a quick favor, I'm gonna let you introduce yourself and tell people a little about yourself. So before we begin, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Absolutely. So my name's Dr. Pam Johnson, and I've been in practice for 30 years. I own my practice, and sold that in 2020. But my backstory is I grew up on a farm, always loved animals of all kinds, loved being near nature. And so this was sort of a natural transition, I think, for me to jump into this profession. And I will say that I have never regretted a moment. I love this profession, still love this profession to this day. And as I transitioned from the practice setting, what I'm trying to do is bridge the gap between the veterinary community and the pet owner. And so that's sort of the very short answer of why we started Veterinary Mastermind, so that we can help bridge that gap between the pet owner and the veterinary team.
I love that. So, were there any specific experiences in your 30-year career that convinced you that a mastermind model could serve both pet owners and veterinarian professionals?
It was actually after I sold my business that sort of came to me. I'm very faith-based person, and I kept feeling this need to do something bigger. And I kept getting phone call after phone call of people, relatives, clients, friends of people that knew I was a veterinarian. And they said, I have this situation or this situation, and I really didn't understand, or I need more clarification, and I don't know which way to go. I'm losing sleep at night over this. And so we would talk through, their options and how to have conversations, even what questions to ask their veterinarians. I never want to replace the veterinarian. I only want to enhance that relationship and make that bond between them even better and stronger. And so it just kept leading into more opportunities, more people sort of stepped into my path. And then as we learn that veterinarians, the burnout rate is 2 to 5 years. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't imagine, what that must be like, because, between the amount of schooling, it's a minimum of 8 years of graduate school, depending on, what direction, what field you go in. And I want the veterinarian team to feel the same passion that I have for 30 plus years. And I also want the pet owner to be taken care of. I want them to understand and feel what compassion and collaboration should look like, and how do we again bridge that gap between them and the veterinary team. So it just kept growing and growing from there. I just feel like this could be something that ultimately could be international. We have a member that's from Australia. We have people from Ireland that are very engaged and wanting to learn more about what we offer. And so it just keeps God keeps putting people in my path that are telling me to keep moving forward, keep doing this, keep trying to get the word out, because it is something that I think is so greatly needed in our society. I mean, more people are having pets than they are children. They're members of our family now, that it's just, there's been this wonderful transition over the last, at least in my career, over the last 30 years, where my dog was a backyard dog, similar with cats. And so it's been fun to watch that transition and engage both veterinarian teams as well as clients about what's available to them that many of them don't even know of. Taking that holistic approach, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does, definitely. Now, how did selling your hospital and stepping into a coaching reshape your vision for the platform?
So, if I understood your question, you mean stepping out of a hospital setting? So, it's very, very different for sure because this is all digital. And so, it's been a learning curve. I call it identity flexibility because for me, I'm always focused on that one-on-one, and that's my comfort zone. And so, switching to something that is digital and more online has been the biggest challenge in getting the word out to people that, hey, this is available to you. That if you have questions about anything, whether it's introducing a new pet into your home, what breed is right for you, right for your lifestyle, your situation. I lightheartedly tell people, don't go get a border collie or a Belgian Malinois if you live in a flat in Manhattan, right? I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, but it's trying to match the right pet with the right people. And so it's, and then all the way through to how do we recognize pain in our pets? Because their language is very different than ours, right? And so they generally, they're not going to vocalize, they're not going to cry in pain. There's other subtle things that they do. And so I teach people, okay, what do you look for? What are the things that might change or might shift that you might miss? And then longevity. I'm a big, big proponent of how do we keep them here longer? How do we improve, quantity and quality of life, right? For them as well as for us. Let's face it, they don't live here. They're not on this planet long enough, right?
100%.
You mentioned that you have two dogs, and so I think you know all too well what I'm talking about. All my pets are, I don't even know how old they are because I don't want to know.
I know what you mean.
In denial, right?
For sure. I do that too. I'm like, I don't want to know.
Want to think about it.
But I did my one Shih Tzu. He was here for 17 years, so he lived a long, fulfilling life. But yeah, he was I did everything I could to keep them here as long as possible, but unfortunately they do have a little shorter lifespan, but they are wonderful. It's like they become part of your family. It's a wonderful experience when you bring an animal into your life, for sure. Now, I wanted to ask you, what are the most common fears you hear from pet parents, and how does being a veterinary mastermind reframe those fears into actual confidence?
The biggest things that people say keep them up at night are, am I feeding them the best I can? Am I enriching their environment the best I can? Am I giving them enough exercise, enough stimulation? Am I providing the best guidance for them so that I'm in essence raising a well-balanced pet? Because there are so many different behavior issues out there potentially. So that's a big one. And then it's am I missing something along the way that I should be catching sooner? That's a big one. That's a big one. And so I try to focus on those types of things. We have basically a membership platform where people can go in and there's a success path of videos where you just they're 3 to 4 minutes each, and you just listen to each one along the way. And big one is when's the right time to add a pet into your family? If you've got really, really young kids, you're trying to figure out, okay, well, what's the best time, and how do we integrate them into the family? And because you don't, a lot of people are afraid, oh, I'm gonna, if I get a big dog, it's gonna make my children afraid of dogs, similar with cats. When is that time to bring them into the family? And then how do we integrate? If I already have a pet, how do I integrate another one safely? And so that everybody feels a part of that, a part of the pack, if you will. I think that's a big one. And then as we age, it's understanding quality of life and how we define that is so uniquely different to each and every person. But it's something that I think that I coach people through is, how do we define quality of life? And at what point do we determine that quality of life isn't where we feel like it should be when we have to, that's when we have to make that decision to let them go and understand that you're giving not only them permission to leave this earth with dignity, but you're giving yourself permission too, that you're ending suffering. And very often that's a big struggle for a lot of people, that they don't know whether they're doing it for themselves or doing it for their pet. And that's a big part of what I coach and how I advise clients as well. And then it's very specific, there's kidney disease, liver disease, diabetes, epilepsy. How do I manage all of this? And we see a lot of cancer, and people are trying to discern, okay, what's available to me, and then what does that mean? What does that look like? All the potential outcomes. So those are some of the top, I would say, issues or concerns that a lot of people have. And very often those are things that are not necessarily going to get addressed in an exam room per se, right? Breed specific conditions, that's another one that I coach people on, and being aware of how to screen for some of those things early on, whether it's genetic testing, x-rays, ultrasound, those types of things that we now have access to. Alternative therapies, when again, there's many of them that are wonderful in terms of helping with longevity, helping manage pain control and other conditions. And so I love exploring those with people as well. So
Oh, I love that. Now, can you share a real world success story where once anxious owner became their pet's strongest advocate?
oh my gosh, you're asking me to pick one. I think that one of them was a sheepdog, very overweight, and they came into our practice, and they'd been to several, about that we had laser therapy, and so she was having difficulty walking, even just getting up. And this was an elderly couple as well. And so they came to us, and we had a conversation about all the that this was not a simply getting lasered, right? Which was important, but there were a lot of other factors that came, that went into play in terms of long-term benefits for their pet, and again, keeping her with them longer. And it took a little bit because they were a little bit of enabling her by overfeeding her, and she was very heavy. But literally over about a 3 to 6 month time frame, she was getting more spring in her step. She was happier. She was more pleasant to be around. They just couldn't get over it. And so once they started seeing the results, let's face it, it wasn't just us, pain management, laser, there are all kinds of things, but it was also them at home, right? And that's what I mean by that collaborative sort of team effort. It's always a team effort. And then another one was actually a cat that had a tumor on a leg. A young cat had a malignant tumor. They had two young children who were very attached to this cat. And they said, well, our veterinarian said, we either need to amputate the leg or euthanize. And so we went through the process of talking about that, and then how to talk to their children about this, because ultimately the conversation centered around the children their own thoughts around, this process, and then statistically what was going to happen to their cat, right? And so ultimately, long story short, they elected amputating the leg, and the cat did fantastic, still alive right now. And had they not done that, it would have been it was a very aggressive tumor, and they would have ended up having to euthanize her. And for a 4-year-old cat, you can imagine all the emotions that come into that, particularly as a parent when you're trying to, navigate that circumstance. But it's one of those things that they just needed someone to listen, right? Just listen, and then talk about all the what ifs, the what ifs, the what ifs, the what ifs, and then coaching them through how to communicate that with their children. But also, they had to get a point where they had reached that what I would say mental and emotional pivotal point where they said, okay, this is the plan of action that we're going to take. We need to embrace that. And then we need to confidently share that with our children. And it's a beautiful story, and I've many, many of them, but that's a, that was just a really wonderful success story.
I love that. That's wonderful. Any animal, like they go through something traumatic, they can recover. They recover sometimes a lot faster, and they adjust to the environment a lot quicker than we realize. They are troopers, and they have a very fast healing process too. And they are very they're stronger than what we think.
They are, Stacey, and that's one of the things that a lot of times situations leading up to a major surgical event like this, they don't realize how much pain they were in because, again, they do hide that. Doesn't mean they don't have it. They just hide it. They sh show it different ways. But even after that major surgery, the cat was in less pain within about a 48-hour period than it was weeks, prior to that. And they went, oh my gosh, we had no idea how much pain she really was really in, So it's that's a I'm glad you bring that up because it's a really powerful lesson behind how well they hide pain and how well they recover given the opportunity.
Now, how does your program tailor information for each life stage, like a puppy and a kitten, or an adult senior, or end of life?
So we have that, as I mentioned, that success path video, and you can hop in at any point along that. But we also have twice a month roundtable discussions
Oh, I
where we
like that.
pick a topic. I'll talk about that, and then I open the floor to questions about anything that they might have. So it kind of gives them that opportunity to say, "Hey, I'm having this issue." We also have a community where people can post questions as well. We haven't we're on Facebook, I'm on Instagram under Veterinary Mastermind. Then we have a private Facebook page. It's pet healthcare education slash questions. And I think I mentioned to you before we started that we're in the middle of a rebrand, but we're not quite there yet. It's going to be Pet Lovers United. But for now it's veterinarymastermind.net. And I also do one-on-one coaching. If somebody has a need for that, I'll review lab work, x-rays, things like that. Again, I never want to replace their veterinarian. I'm simply just giving them the tools that they need to make better decisions for them, their family, and their pet, if that makes sense.
Oh, it definitely makes sense, because there are times where you have so many questions, and your vet doesn't always have the answers, or doesn't want to give you certain answers. Like when my dogs were coming to the end, they didn't want to tell me what to do. It's like, it's your choice, and it was a hard choice to make. Like I had my one dog, I told you that my Shih Tzu, who lived 17 years, the last thing that happened to, he had a bunch of medical problems at the end. And then the last thing that happened was he had a stroke. And after that stroke, because they can get anything that we get. People don't realize they're like humans. Every condition that we have, they can get too. And I found him one day, and his arms were sprawled out, and his legs were sprawled out. And I took him right to the veterinarian. They said he had a stroke. And he had really no more quality of life left. I said, "What should I do?" They said, "Well, this is your choice." They said, "Your dog could probably live 27 years if you let him." And then they left me at that. And then I was like, as a human, you want to be selfish. You want to keep them in your life forever. You don't want to give them up. But then they have no quality of life left, and they're suffering. So then you have to make this choice, and it's a very difficult choice for any pet lover. And sometimes we do need people like you to kind of step in and guide us, and maybe not give us the answer, but lead us to the to you know where we're more at that point where we can make that qualified decision.
As a veterinarian, you're supposed to be an advocate for both the pet and the pet owner, and there's a responsibility that goes with that. And for me, I will share with you one of the most important things that we do as veterinarians is how we handle euthanasia, the before, the during, and the after. And very often it's simply just having a conversation and saying, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay for you to do this. It's giving you permission. Basically, I always tell my clients, you're taking their pain, their discomfort, their suffering, and you're making it your own. And it's the biggest, greatest sacrifice that we can make as humans for our pets. And it is just that. It's a conversation, and you should never feel judged. You should never feel pushed, none of those things. But at the same time, when somebody looks at me and says, "What would you do?" I would never say just flatly, "This is up to you." I would say, "Well, let's talk through that." Now that takes a little bit of time. But it's so critical, and it's so important that we as a team are being an advocate for our pets, even when it comes to end of life.
I agree 100%. Now, what are one or two overlooked health milestones owners should track but usually don't?
You're talking about what they could do better, or what they're maybe missing?
Yes, like what, when we're taking care of our pets, what can we do to help our pets live long, healthy lives that we don't sometimes, we overlook? Because sometimes, people, there are things that we can do to help our pets live, healthy, long, vibrant lives. And sometimes as pet owners, we look at them more like human because they are part of our family, and they have to be treated a little bit differently. Like their digestive system is different, they handle things different, their mentality is a little bit different, and even though they're part of the family, what can we do as good pet owners to help our pets live happy, long lives?
Well, that would take me about 3 hours to talk about, but I will tell you that there are two particular things that if they're done correctly, can add up to 2+ years to their lives. And one is weight management, and it's basically how do we feed, what do we feed? And I can't get into much detail, during this podcast on that, but focusing on and managing weight is huge, because obesity contributes to disease processes. It does in humans as well, as we know. And so managing that weight, particularly as they mature, measuring out that food, making sure that they're fed scheduled meals, that you're not just leaving food out. You're not feeding a lot of human foods, fatty foods, things like that lead to other conditions like pancreatitis, diabetes, things like that. The other one is, believe it or not, is dentistry. It's oral health, that we just overlook it, or we pretend, or we don't pay attention to what's going on in that mouth. And there's a grading system for dental disease in dogs and cats, and it's a grade 1 through 4. And grade 1 and 2, you're still in the the treat and pre you know pr treat, prevent, control. When you reach the grade 3 and 4, you have irreversible damage to the teeth and the gums and the very often the bone of the jaw, and it can lead to other disease processes that contributes to heart disease, kidney disease, liver disease, not to mention the pain. People think that they're not in pain. They're in pain. And so, sometimes I used to do a lot of dentistry, and I always tell people, start early, start early. Even if you can't brush their teeth, there are wonderful things out now that help slow down plaque and tartar buildup and then get them dental care regularly. And that includes anesthesia, scaling, probing, really, really getting back there, taking x-rays, because you never know what's going on up underneath without taking x-rays. So those are there are other things, but those are the two big ones I would say that can be major, major game changers in their quality of life and quantity of life. Every pound that they're overweight, you are rapidly speeding up arthritis. So, that it's things like that that you go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. People say, oh, they limp on occasion, but they're not in any pain. If your pet's limping, they're in pain. So it's things like that that people don't they're afraid to acknowledge, and actually, that sometimes is the greatest take-home message is if you think something's wrong, it probably is, and get it addressed sooner rather than later.
No, that's very good advice because I don't think people realize too, like you made a very obesity is a huge thing. And also when it comes to the teeth, I was helping my grandmother with her dog, and her dog had, I would take because she was 92, I would take the dog to the veterinarian. He was like, oh, she has really bad, he just like did a jump back. He's like, whoa, there's a lot of serious things going on in this dog's mouth. And people don't realize, like for humans, if we our teeth, we can cause ourselves a heart attack or heart problems just by an infection in our mouth. So like we talked about earlier, they same similar conditions, and similar reactions in some cases. And those, having bad teeth, even as a dog, can play a huge role in their longevity. I'm so glad you mentioned that because people don't realize that. And it is really huge when it comes to that stuff. And so I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, when we talk about your resources that you have, like, can you walk us through a typical veterinarian mastermind membership, the webinars, the Q&A hotlines, and the different downloads and checklists and so forth?
Yes, I can. So we have three different level of memberships, and I'll just sort of briefly talk about the first level, and that is we have a monthly, basically it's a subscription. You can pay annually or monthly, and there's a once a month in-depth newsletter on some topic, and usually our readers have some influence over that. Then we have the twice a month, basically roundtable discussions, and then open it up for Q&A, and those are about an hour plus each time. We have the Success Path videos in the membership site that takes you from before you ever get a pet all the way through the end of life. There is a community there for everything from questions to bereavement. We also have a library of over 50 to 60 different PDFs or ebooks that people have access through in that library. And we're getting ready to offer master classes on some of the more common conditions or illnesses that people have. One of the things that I talk a lot about is breed specific conditions, because that's such a big area that a lot of people are not aware of before they get a pet. They don't understand already that they're potentially going to have a pet that is riddled with, let's just be honest, potentially issues that they're genetically predisposed to. We think about French bulldogs, English bulldogs, boxers, the golden retrievers, you name it, so we talk about in depth about those, and then how to detect early, how to treat, control, in some cases prevent,
Wow.
and then I also offer one-on-one coaching as well if somebody wants me to go more in depth with a
Yeah.
very specific situation that they want me to talk about. I'll do that as well. And we have a free newsletter that people can sign up for at veterinarymastermind.net that's weekly. And I get so much positive feedback from that alone. So we're trying to build our readership there. We even have an online storefront where there are products that I've approved that people can purchase for their pets. And so that's been kind of fun for me to put something like that together. So that's sort of the quick overview of what we offer. And there are going to be more things coming. We're talking about getting an app, and that's exciting to me. That's getting more realistic as we move through this AI world that we're in. So we're having fun with some of those things. And as I mentioned, we're going through a rebranding, but for now we're still Veterinary Mastermind. That will be our umbrella brand. And we just can't wait to for this next level to get ramped up and again become hopefully more internationally known as we move forward. So it's exciting.
Yeah, definitely is excited. Now, with the Mastermind program and all the your program overall, have you seen, fewer emergency visits and better health in the dogs after the pet owners are now well educated and they're getting the advice they need and they're getting on the proper pathway?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked that because it is one of the things that we're trying to lower is the number of emergency visits because people wait too long. So example might be they've been vomiting for a week, right? Or major diarrhea or some other issue, and what could have been addressed sooner turns into something that is now an emergency situation. And one of the things that we really try to focus on is, to your point, is when do I go? When is this something that's urgent? And how do we prevent it from becoming an emergency? And on the flip side of that, people very often, so they'll overreact. And so what we're trying to do is educate them on, this is something that you could probably wait on, or this is something that you may want to consider, that kind of thing. So again, I don't ever want to take the place of the veterinarian's role. And if an owner thinks something's an emergency, I always say go get them checked. But that's the goal, is to try to approach this in a very proactive way versus a reactive way. And educate people on the things that they need to know to be better advocates for their pets. And again, we very often it ends up saving them money in the long run.
Definitely. Now, what are three quick tips, like one thing they could do before they go to a veterinarian appointment, maybe what the questions they should ask, and because they're all at different stages of life, or a myth that you wish that could disappear. Are there some things that you would like the pet owners to understand?
Yes, I think that one is to don't wait until you need a veterinarian to find one. And I think it's important that pet owners understand that you want to be able to connect with a veterinarian. So you don't want to just go to the first one that you see. Number one, I always tell people to look for an accredited hospital. The American Animal Hospital Association is an accreditation. It doesn't mean other hospitals are not good, but they have to meet a very high standard of care, number one. And then number two, go to that hospital before you need one. Meet the team, meet the veterinarian, get a tour of the facility. Make sure that you can see the same veterinarian every time, unless it's urgent. And you should be able to request, because it's just like us going to our human physicians, right? You want to see the same person every time because they know you, they know your body. And it's the same with veterinary care. You want that consistent relationship where it is collaborative and trusted. So that's a big one for me. Don't just go to the first one that you see because it's convenient, and get to know the team. Make sure it's a good fit. And then, it's what you do before the visit to get them more comfortable with the visit, right? Taking short rides that are not always, if you're going to get into a vehicle, it's a sign that, oh my gosh, we're going to the veterinary office. And so they're already ramped up. If you have a cat, you want to make sure that you get the carrier out a week or so before, get them acclimated to that. And again, you want to make sure that I'm a big proponent of something called fear-free. There's a certification that people can go through in a veterinary profession. And there's also feline friendly. And they're wonderful tools that people can use so that they don't have to be so afraid. They get so worked up because they're afraid their pet's going to get worked up. And so again, back to that, they reflect our behaviors, right? And so there are things that we can do to sort of get them ready to go to the veterinarian. And if you're not comfortable with what you're hearing, what you're feeling, then trust your instincts. Just trust them. And that means at home with your pet, if something doesn't feel right, I always told my clients, and I tell people now, I'd rather you overreact than underreact. Always, always, always. And then find out later that okay, this was okay, then to wait and wait and wait until it becomes something that's very advanced. But I think finding that good fit so that you are comfortable and that your pet's comfortable is going to be critical. And if you have a nervous pet, there are wonderful tools out there and things to use to get them more relaxed before that visit. And don't be afraid to use those things in those circumstances. None of us likes to, feel nervous or anxious. And so if there are things that we can do to help them just make it easier, then why wouldn't we do that?
Oh, I love that advice. Now, if we had to take today's conversation and you wanted to emphasize on some important factors from our conversation, is there anything else you'd like to pull from our conversation today that you'd like to emphasize to the listeners?
I think that I would probably say that what you're looking for is somebody that is a non-judgmental, collaborative. This is a team effort with you and your veterinary professionals, and it should always feel that way. And if there's something that I can do to help facilitate that, I'm more than happy to do that. And again, we're at veterinarymastermind.net. Again, I'm on Facebook under Veterinary Mastermind, and we have a private page that's it's veterinary pet healthcare questions and healthcare. Sorry. And I just firmly believe that everything that we do as pet owners should be to lengthen and strengthen that human-animal bond, and for us all to benefit from that bond. And there's so many powerful, powerful historical lessons out there when we know what the difference that they make in our lives and how they improve our longevity and our quality of lives. And so that's really what Veterinary Mastermind's all about.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Now, you had mentioned some of the services you provide. Can you just go over like all the different things once again so people understand what you're all about and the things that you currently have available?
Sure. We have a three-tiered membership, and at the very basic level, it's basically $29 a month, and with that, you get me twice a month, where I'll ask your answer your questions, and I'll talk about a specific topic We have a monthly newsletter that's paid for. We have the free weekly newsletter that goes out every week. We also have a full library that's growing weekly with different types of things and topics based on people's feedback and questions. We have a Success Path video library. We are putting together mastermind sessions on specific topics that people want to hear about.
Right.
And we have a community. The biggest that's to me, that's a big part of it is that community of people
Yeah.
because they give feedback to each other as well and support to each other. And so I think that's a underutilized part of what we humans are all about, right? That connection, right, with each other. I've been through it, you've been through it. I mean, you know that all too well, with your journey with epilepsy, and that community is a powerful, powerful tool. And
Yes.
I wish more people would understand the benefits of community and what that means and how we all continue to learn from each other. And in the end, we hope we make each other's lives better, right? That's really what it's
Oh,
all about.
yes, it is. Now tell everybody before we go, once again, where they can find you.
VeterinaryMastermind.net. And that's where you can sign up for the free weekly newsletter. And then you can see more about the things that we offer, the different tiers that we offer. And if you have questions, you guys can reach out to me through Facebook, join our Facebook page, and just, DM me if you need to. I'm also on Instagram. I'm learning this world of digital marketing and media, so be patient with that process because that's still kind of new to me. But I very much appreciate this opportunity to share this wonderful thing that we're trying to create and that it helps empowers pet owners
Yes.
and bridges that gap between them and the veterinary profession worldwide. That's the goal.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Pamela, for coming on the show today. You are wonderful. I hope that you'll be able to visit us again and provide some more information because you were just a whirlwind of knowledge today. And your love and compassion for animals just shines. I love when I speak to animal lovers and people like you who actually reach out to help other people who, have animals in their lives and they're looking for, guidance in some area, and they have people like you who can help them, raise a healthy, happy, pet. And also relieve if they're going through something with an illness or a condition, the pet owner, has someone like you that can guide them and help them, help their pet and also take some of the burden and that they're experiencing themselves. So thank you for all you do, and I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Stacey. This has been a joy and a privilege, and I really enjoyed talking to you specifically. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And you have a great day.
All right. Thank you.